Guitarathon is the greatest guitar sale on earth, and it's happening now. Get massive savings on a huge selection of electric and acoustic guitars, basses, amps, pedals, and other accessories. Get select Ernie Ball strings, 3 for $10. Save $100 on a Fender Special Edition Strat, or get a Yamaha acoustic for just $199. Plus, get special financing on select major brands. Don't miss these incredible deals. Available online and in-store, now through November 1st. Guitarathon, only at Guitar Center. Find your sound.
You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everyone, to Locked On Rockets, your home for podcast coverage of the Houston Rockets. I'm your host, Ben DuBose. As we chat on this Saturday morning, we've had yet another leak in the ongoing Carmelo Anthony trade saga. According to Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN last night, it's not the leak that a lot of Rockets fans wanted to hear, but Carmelo has allegedly opened up his no-trade list to where he would consider trades to Cleveland and one other team as well. According to Ian Begley of ESPN, reported later Friday night that one other team is believed to be Oklahoma City, not Portland. So I understand that there's a lot of questioning, in my opinion, too much, regarding the deal and where the Rockets are at with this. First things first, my apologies for not having an immediate reaction show last night. As you can probably see on Twitter, I'm covering the Astros this weekend for MLB.com, so I'm a little bit off the grid, but I'm going to try and get to this as quickly as I can this morning, break down what I think of the Wojnarowski report and where I think things go from here. And my initial thought, I'm certainly not going to say it's a huge positive for the chances of Carmelo ultimately being dealt to the Rockets in the next 48 hours, but I do think it's a significant sign that there is a very real shot that Carmelo does get dealt somewhere in the next 48 hours. And I think that ties into what we were trying to explain in yesterday's show, which is that the words of the New York front office, all of the calmness they preached Friday morning, the seeming inevitability that they made it sound like that he would report to camp on Monday or Tuesday, that was lip service. Those were comments that have to be made when the cameras are rolling and when there's a player that's under contract with you. The reality, New York doesn't want him to get to camp, and Carmelo doesn't want to be at New York camp. They both know what the circus is going to be. They don't want that around New York's young players. So whatever they say on the cameras, it doesn't change that underlying reality, which is that there's a huge incentive to get a deal done. And I really don't think it's a coincidence that on the same day that those comments were made, then later you have this leak that reminds everyone that, hey, Carmelo is still very much on the block and we still very, very much want to move him. So I think if you want to look at the positive, it's that the Knicks, as we said all along, are not comfortable keeping him. No matter what they say publicly, they want to make a move. And I think this certainly, I don't want to say makes it likely, because there are some flaws that I see in the report that I'm going to get into momentarily, but I do think it shows you the sense of urgency is still there, regardless of what they say publicly. And if the Knicks have a sense of urgency to do a deal, and you know the Rockets, led by Daryl Morey, would like to do a deal, then yes, that gives you a chance, if you're Houston, even a chance in the next 48 hours, despite what some of the reports may say. Now, as far as the report itself from Woj on Friday night, do I think it changes the equation? Do I think it puts the Rockets out on Carmelo? No, I really don't. I'll admit, when I first saw it, just the tweet, not the story, the tweet that Carmelo had expanded his no-trade list, certainly it's a little concerning, because the biggest leverage he has to get to Houston would be for him to only accept a trade to Houston. That puts the Knicks behind the eight ball. But then when you look at the actual reporting, the depth, and sometimes 140 characters is not sufficient to truly explain a story. Journalism cannot be boiled down to 140 characters. And so when you read the story, when you read the follow-up information from the New York Daily News, which has been very plugged in on Carmelo's side the entire time, I think it paints a little more complex picture than just Carmelo opening up his no-trade list. And I think it also raises the potential for some of the reports to be a little bit misleading, i.e. someone putting out something for PR gain rather than truly being the substance of the story. And as I said last night, the more I got into it, the more I felt like there was a huge missing piece of the equation that we don't have yet. So while I'm certainly curious by that, I'm not going into despair mode as far as the Rockets' chances, because I do see some flaws I don't want to say flaws in the reporting, because I'm sure Wojnarowski, Ian Begley, the folks over at ESPN and New York Daily News are doing the best they can. But there are just parts of this that don't add up. So while, yes, on paper, it's not really great to hear other teams besides Houston that Carmelo would allegedly accept a trade to, but there are a lot of elements of this report that, in my opinion, are a little sketchy and hint at something else being done behind the scenes that we aren't quite aware of yet. I'll start with Cleveland, because that was the first team mentioned confirmed as a team that he would allegedly accept a trade to. And if you look at the Wojnarowski report on ESPN, it says the two sides have not even exchanged trade ideas. That the Knicks essentially placed one preliminary phone call on Monday, and yet the two sides have not even discussed anything since. Well, folks, with as badly as the Knicks want to move on, with as bad as Carmelo wants to move on, the fact that this has been going on for days and there has been no progress, that's a little bit of a red flag. Another part of the Wojnarowski story, he reported that the quote-unquote expanded list was given to New York at some point in the last 10 days. Well, folks, this isn't necessarily breaking news, and that's an important part of this. My initial reaction when I saw the tweet, and you may have seen it on Twitter last night, I said that, well, it looks like Carmelo blinked before the Knicks did. Because I've said all summer long that when we get to the deadline, someone's got to blink, and while the odds are in favor of the Knicks blinking before Carmelo, you can't write off the possibility that Carmelo just wants out so bad that he blinks before they do, and that's certainly the scenario the Knicks want. But the reality, if Wojnarowski's reporting is true, and I have no reason to doubt that, then it's not really that they got to a deadline yesterday and all of a sudden Carmelo heard the comments yesterday morning about the Knicks being willing to keep him, and then Carmelo just blinked and said, screw it, I just want the hell out of here. No, if you read it, what Wojnarowski reports is that this was done within the past 10 days. So whatever has been going on, it's part of a larger ploy, and in the case of Cleveland in particular, the phone call was placed on Monday. Folks, that's 5 days ago, and it was a preliminary call, and they haven't even exchanged trade ideas since. So something is not really making a lot of sense there from a deal perspective. Either the Cavaliers don't want him that bad, and the Knicks are just trying to generate a market, which is potentially true, or the Knicks, for whatever reason, are not serious about doing a deal right now. So either way you look at it, there's something flawed about that report. Now, let's also look at the third team. What's interesting about this, so when the news broke about 8 o'clock last night, everyone initially suspected that the third team he would accept a trade to was Portland, based on the Jason McIntyre tweet Thursday and the confirmed recruiting pitches that Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum have been doing this summer. Well, no one knew whether it was Portland or not at first. Then we had a report that it's not Portland. Then we had one report from Ian Begley of ESPN, and I still don't think it's widely confirmed, that Oklahoma City was that team. So what's interesting to me, first off, the only confirmed interest in terms of a suitor being willing to bid, at least somewhat heavily, is Portland. So from a Houston perspective, it's certainly encouraging that that team is apparently not on the list. But besides the Portland angle, what's interesting to me is that it took so long and was so difficult to find out who that third team on that list actually was. Because, folks, if it was as simple as, well, Carmelo's expanded his list, he just wants the heck out, why would Carmelo keep it a secret? Why would he not return every call, every text to everyone in the NBA community and say, hey, this is who the team is? Even going further than that, why, whenever the list was released 10 days ago, allegedly, why wouldn't he, at that point, tell the entire NBA that, hey, I have opened up my list? Because if it's as simple as Carmelo just wants out desperately, that's why he's expanding his list. And by the way, even in this, I should point out that Wojnarowski writes that Houston very much remains Carmelo's preferred destination. But if it was as simple as him just expanding the list to get out, I don't know why he would not be just screaming it from the hilltops, because you want to put the pressure on the Knicks to do a deal. If that's the case, then make it very clear that if you've expanded the list and they're just dilly-dallying around or whatever, then, yes, shout it with a megaphone of who the teams are on that list. The fact that it's so secretive to get the other team that's allegedly on the list, that, to me, is a little funky. And then there's another line of the story that, well, first, I almost fell out of my chair reading, but Wojnarowski writes that the Knicks are looking for a wing scorer to replace Anthony, and then essentially salary cap relief and draft assets. Well, folks, that's absolutely laughable. As I've explained a lot, Carmelo Anthony, at this point, his name is ahead of where he is as a basketball player. This is a guy whose player efficiency rating was below 18 last year. Not very efficient. He's going to turn 34 years old this season. He's not a particularly good defender. There are questions about whether he's a ball stopper. And on top of all that, the guy's owed $55 million over the next 2 years. That is not the type of profile that's going to get you essentially a wing scorer, a future draft consideration, and salary relief. That's absolutely silly, and it makes you wonder just how serious the Knicks really are about doing a deal. But more than that, what I think it goes into is that there's a lot of PR at play with this leak, and the more you dig into it, the more I wonder if a lot of this was leaked and maybe even distorted some from the New York side rather than the Carmelo side in an attempt to try and build up a market. Because that line about what the Knicks desire in a trade and it being so laughably high, then you factor in the other things at play in the report, which are the lack of identifying a third team and Carmelo's camp not really speaking out on that, and then Cleveland not really being engaged in any sort of substantive trade discussions with the Knicks this week for Carmelo, other than one very preliminary call on Monday that apparently has not been returned since. That doesn't really make sense for the initial scenario, what a lot of folks thought, which is basically Carmelo blinked, he just wants the hell out, and now that he opened up his list, it's game over for the Rockets, and he's going to go somewhere else. The more you dig into this story, the more it looks like that the Knicks are not close to accepting any deal. And while I think that ultimately could change in the next 48 hours, all it takes is one phone call with them dropping their demands, and I think that's highly possible. But for now, what I think this points to is a picture that is substantially more complex than Carmelo just opening up his no-trade clause and now it being an inevitability that he's going to get shipped to Cleveland, Oklahoma City, or somewhere other than Houston because they're offering something substantially better than what the Rockets have been with their Ryan Anderson Plus package. Well, of course, the case of the Knicks, Ryan Anderson Plus, maybe some of those assets would go to the Knicks, but certainly not Ryan himself. He would be going to a third team. So it's entirely possible, the more I look into it, that maybe this leak is to, you know, try and leverage the Rockets or the third teams in these deals to give up more to push that one to the finish line. I don't know. But the more I dig into it, the more I think that there's a lot more at play than what that initial 140-character tweet made it seem. And further to that point, Frank Azzola of the New York Daily News, who's been very plugged in on the Carmelo side of the fence all along, he noted later in the evening that expanding the list to three teams was a good PR move for Carmelo. And he said that essentially puts the onus back on the Knicks to make a deal. And maybe that's part of it as well, to go out and show that, hey, we're not just making life hard on you. We are showing at least some willingness to work with you. And who knows, maybe part of the reason he's doing that, and Frank Azzola, the New York Daily News folks, still say that Houston is the preferred destination over Cleveland, Oklahoma City, Portland, or anywhere else that could be in play. And maybe part of the motivation, some of these teams don't have that much to offer or are unwilling to offer that much. And if that's the case, then maybe opening up your list, it's a clever move to essentially shift things back on New York, saying, hey, you're the problem, you're the reason that this deal is not moving along, and then maybe they know that there's not a deal with these teams other than with Houston. Again, there are a lot of potential dynamics here. And another thing I would point out that some of you may not understand, a no-trade clause in basketball, it's not a matter of, well, Carmelo's now checked off Cleveland, Oklahoma City, so it's done. So the Knicks can just trade him there today if they want. It doesn't work that way. A lot of folks get confused because there are so few no-trade clauses in basketball. It's more popular in baseball. There are a lot of those. And in baseball, the way it works, you essentially furnish your team a list of potential suitors before the season that you can't block a trade to, and then you engage in trade talks. And if the team picks out a team that's not on your, or I think is on your no-trade list, one of the people that you can be traded to, then it's done. There's no agreeing to be done because the process is handled before the season. The NBA, it doesn't work like that. Carmelo's people, if in fact they did, can leak Friday night that, oh, I think I'm willing to accept a trade to Cleveland or Oklahoma City. Then Saturday morning, the Knicks can wake up, do a trade, and Carmelo can say, oh, no, I changed my mind. So that's another factor to consider. Just because that there's this story out there, it's not done. It's not like Carmelo can just sign a piece of paper and then all of a sudden the Knicks have the right to trade him wherever. All these leaks can be true, and yet Carmelo can just, quote-unquote, change his mind at a later date. So that's why I say that there's a lot of potential dynamics here, because it's not as simple as, well, now his list is opened up, and that's that. No, he can still go back on that if he so chooses, and if he thinks there's a reasonable path to Houston. And again, the more you look into the story, the more you see that there are a lot of potential directions that this could go, and there are a lot of potential reasons for why this information could have been leaked. And what appears evident by now is that there's not really a deal that seems particularly close with anyone. Now, as far as what the deals could be, I sweat a little bit, but not too much. When you see the Knicks' alleged asking price, certainly neither Cleveland or Oklahoma City would come that close. Oklahoma City, unless they deal Steven Adams, and that's incredibly unlikely, you would have to deal a package led by Enes Kanter. Well, that's not much better than Ryan Anderson, if at all. Now, the one consolation to Kanter, he's got about the same $18, $19 million a year contract that Ryan does. His does expire a year earlier, so it's slightly better. He's got a 2019 expiration relative to Ryan's 2020. Now, technically, he has a player option, Kanter, for the last year of his contract, but of course he's going to opt in 1 year, $18 million. He's not going to get anything better than that on the market next summer. So essentially, it's a one-year difference. That's a little better, but then in the context of what the Knicks are allegedly looking for, it's nowhere close to close a deal. You look at the Cavaliers. Folks, there is no way on God's green earth that they are going to give up the Brooklyn draft pick. That's just absolutely silly. As I said, go back to the podcast I did in August about the Kyrie Irving trade, explaining why that they were not going to trade Kyrie to the Knicks for Carmelo, despite all of NBA Twitter thinking that's what was going to happen. Carmelo, they are aware of his deficiencies. They are not going to give up prime assets like Kyrie Irving, or in this case, the Brooklyn pick, the main thing that they got in exchange for Kyrie Irving. That's an enormous building block, and they're not going to give that up for a soon-to-be 34-year-old Carmelo Anthony, and a guy who theoretically could opt out next summer and leave right alongside LeBron James. That's absolutely silly to think that the Cavs are going to mortgage their future on that. They wouldn't give up Kyrie Irving, so now they're going to give up the pick they got for Kyrie Irving? No, that's not going to happen. And Kevin Love, that's the same story. It's been known for years that the Knicks have been interested. There's been reporting on this going way back, again, 2016, maybe even 2015, that the Knicks had inquired about moving Carmelo for Love on the basis of LeBron allegedly wanting his buddy Carmelo. And the Cavs have rebuffed that every single time. So I don't know why Carmelo would have suddenly more value at this stage. Yes, if the Cavaliers decide to move Kevin Love, they can get a deal done. There's no reason for them to do that. They haven't liked him that much before. I understand why they don't. And his value is now lower than it's ever been. The one package I would worry about from a Cleveland standpoint, you could combine Amon Shumpert, Channing Frye, and some combination of low-level draft picks and get a little bit more cap relief than what could be offered with Ryan. Again, it's sort of similar to the Enes Kanter dynamic. You're getting deals expiring in 2018, 2019, rather than 2020. So it's slightly better. And, is it a little concerning if Carmelo would genuinely accept a trade there? In theory, sure, but it's not the kind of deal to where I think the Knicks are overwhelmed. And moreover, I think you look at the leak from the Knicks to Wojnarowski that what they're looking for is a wing scorer, cap relief, and future draft assets out of a deal. Well, those cap relief deals from Cleveland or Oklahoma City, potential ones, I should say, because no specific scenarios are outlined in the story, really seem to fit that. So all of that kind of ties into the same general theme, which is that while it's certainly not the news you want to hear, it's not like all of a sudden Carmelo is about to be traded somewhere else, that there are these hot and heavy discussions and that New York sees a pathway to a deal that they don't have in Houston. There are some potential offers and options that are slightly better than Ryan Anderson potentially, but we don't know if those teams are willing to do that. We don't know if the Knicks are willing to accept that. And we also don't know if Carmelo actually would accept a trade there when it's all said and done. It's very possible there's a little bit of a PR game being played on with this supposed opening of the list as well. So that's my initial takeaways. More than anything, I would just encourage you guys to breathe. take a step back and realize that this is going to be a crazy weekend. I've been building up to this the last few days, telling you guys that when both sides have this such a high sense of urgency, the Knicks and Carmelo, no one wants the awkwardness of him being at camp next week. They're going to do all they can to reasonably get a deal done. And I think this could be one or both sides playing some sort of leverage game with the media and or other teams in the league through the leak. But the more you dig into the story, it's a lot more complex than just simply Carmelo opening up his list. There are a lot of possibilities. I wish I knew exactly what was going on. I don't. In some ways, I'm speculating the same ways that you guys are, but I would not at this point say that the dynamics have substantially shifted in terms of where the Rockets stand in this race. I understand it not being encouraging, but I would not go to despair. I would just urge you guys, again, just go through the report, realize the flaws in it, how much information we don't have. And while certainly it's a weekend to keep refreshing Twitter, there's going to be more information to leak at some point. I don't think it's a point to call off the chase by any means in terms of Houston's involvement in Carmelo Anthony. That said, I do want to address the possibility of what if they don't, because I've sensed a lot of, that word I keep going back to is despair in the social media streets, especially last night, and people tweeting at me saying, oh, this is so typical Houston, and worried about the future of Chris Paul. And I want to address this right now because I think that's absolutely over the top. I would like Carmelo Anthony here, one-for-one upgrade in the rotation, Ryan Anderson. I think he gives you a lot of the same dynamics, but with more playmaking potential. Sure, I would like to have Carmelo here, but this is not, in my opinion, a devastating situation if he's not. And that's not me trying to say I don't want him. Again, I am definitely in favor of this deal, but I think you have to realize where the Rockets are as a franchise. It's not going to be substantially altered by this, and there's still, no matter what needs, no matter whether they get Carmelo or not, there's probably still another move that needs to be done to truly get them to the level of the Warriors. Now, first, I'll start with the Rockets stuff, and then I'll go into Chris Paul. The Rockets. Look, we've been talking the last 2 months. Pretty much every metric under the sun has the Rockets as the second-best team after Golden State going into the season. That's not based on them having Carmelo Anthony. That's based on the roster they have right now. So this is not a situation where all of a sudden the Rockets are taking a step back. No, the Rockets have been considered the second-best team in the NBA based on the roster they have on the court right now. And that's largely because of the free agency signings, most notably Chris Paul. I know he was a trade, but let's be real. He was a free agency signing. Chris Paul, that if you want to play, you know, hashtag Houston sports and all this doom and gloom, no, really, the worst case scenario would have been losing Chris Paul. That was a move. If Chris Paul had gone somewhere else after all the rumors, that would have hurt you because Chris Paul was a needle mover. Chris Paul moved you from maybe the third, fourth, fifth best team in the NBA to clearly the second. He is still a top 10 player in the game. That was the type of move that can put you in another stratosphere as a franchise. Carmelo Anthony is not that. Again, you can argue that he's a little underrated, but folks, there's a reason why the NBA rank list, Chris Paul is ranked the seventh best player in the league, and Carmelo Anthony was 64th. Folks, Carmelo Anthony, he's going to turn 34 years old this season. He's inefficient. He's got a reputation as a ball stopper. His defense has not been good, and that's the kind of thing that gets even worse with age. His lateral quickness starts to decline. This is not a 23-year-old Carmelo Anthony out of Syracuse. I understand he carries a name, but at this point, the name is ahead of where he is as a player. Now, I agree. You put him in a third role as kind of just an upgraded Ryan Anderson in this offense around Chris Paul and James Harden, then yeah, I think he could flourish. I'd like to have him here. It would be a nice piece. It is not a foundational piece like Chris Paul or James Harden. So again, it would make you a little better, and I certainly think when you're chasing the Warriors, you'll take any bump you can get, but I don't think adding Carmelo Anthony puts you in the tier of the Warriors or even gives you that much of a better shot. The reality, in my opinion, it makes you a little better, and certainly I'd take it, but whether you have Carmelo or you don't, you're probably still one more move away from actually having a legit shot at the Warriors. Now, do you have a puncher's chance? Sure you do it. Maybe you get lucky with some injuries. Who knows? But either way, with Carmelo here or not, the Rockets are the second-best team, and there's still a decent gap between them and the Warriors. And I think when Daryl Morey made the tweet earlier this week about, you know, trying to do something on the final lap to Pascal and say a lot of people assume that that could be a reference to a Carmelo trade. Actually, it could be a reference to a lot of trades. They know they're the second-best team and need something to push them over the top. I'm not sure Carmelo is that thing. He'd make them a little bit better, but I don't think it's the move that just hands down puts you in that tier with Golden State. So I don't see this being the huge deal that a lot of you do. I would like it to happen, and it would be fun, certainly, because he's a big name, and of course there's a lot of attention that goes with that, and it would be enjoyable, but I just don't see what in Carmelo's profile as a basketball player makes it that big of a deal. This is not getting Chris Paul. That would have been the classic getting Chris Bosh. This is not getting Chris Bosh because Carmelo Anthony is not at that level of a player anymore. There's a reason not that many teams are interested in him. Part of it may be that the Knicks think that he's not truly opened up his list, but another part of it, the Cavaliers, again, there was a preliminary call on Monday, and the Cavs, even knowing that the Knicks are desperate to get rid of him, still have not really followed up on it. That tells you what the Cavaliers think of Carmelo as a basketball player. And they've had multiple opportunities the last few years with Kevin Love, and they haven't done that. So for those of you seeing him as a superstar, folks, it's not just the Rockets, it's not just me. There are a lot of teams around the NBA that are not aggressive on Carmelo, and there is a reason for that. Even if Carmelo was willing to waive that no-trade clause for Cleveland, they still, over the years, have not shown that much interest at all, and that's because of the flaws he has as a basketball player. So again, I'll say for like the 50th time, I would still do the trade. I still like him, but I do not get at all comparing this to getting Chris Bosh or that it somehow changes the outlook for the Rockets. Chris Paul, at this point, Carmelo Anthony would be a pretty nice role player. He would be a role player upgrade on Ryan Anderson in that stretch four. And yes, I would like it to happen, and I hope it does. I think it still can. But if it doesn't, no, I'm not going to be in that much despair about it. Another thing to point out, a lot of folks are saying, well, Daryl just needs to up his offer. There's a reason he hasn't. It's not that the Rockets can't offer a better package than Ryan Anderson. It's that they won't. They do have pieces, Trevor Ariza, Eric Gordon, Clint Capella, that theoretically could be added. The Rockets aren't adding those to the deal because they don't see Carmelo as that level of a player. And newsflash, neither do most around the NBA. So it's not like the Rockets are out. In theory, they could offer more. It's just, it doesn't mesh with their evaluation of Carmelo Anthony as a basketball player. And that will tie into my second point, which is about the Chris Paul. I've seen a lot of folks saying, well, now Chris Paul can just leave after 1 year because he was expecting Carmelo. Why? Where is he going to go? Now, certainly I'm sure he was excited about the possibility of having Carmelo. But if NBA Twitter has one blind spot, in my opinion, it's this laser focus, this fascination with the banana boat. Because, of course, there are these guys largely from the same draft class, LeBron, Wade, Carmelo, Chris Paul, and everyone just has this fixation on them playing together and everyone just drawing up these conspiracy theories. Folks, that's NBA Twitter's blind spot. I don't see that to be reality at all. I think Chris would like Carmelo to be here. I think there's some truth to him having pursued him with the Clippers as well. But I can't tell anything from these guys that tells me that they, you know, are essentially so biased towards each other as basketball players that it would override all the other things I'm telling you guys. First off, I'll address this scenario in particular. If Daryl Morey thought that Chris Paul would leave as a result of not getting Carmelo Anthony, you bet your ass he would try Trevor Ariza, Eric Gordon, even Clint Capella. If Carmelo Anthony was a prerequisite for keeping Chris Paul long-term, Daryl Morey would not let him go over the likes of Ariza, whose contract expires after the year, by the way, Eric Gordon, Clint Capella. That's absolutely silly. Daryl Morey is one of the best GMs, maybe the best GM in the entire NBA. He's not an idiot. He knows that Chris Paul is a top 10 player. That's who he's been trying to get for years. And now that he's got him, he's not going to lose the entire thing and let it all unravel over the likes of Trevor Ariza or Eric Gordon. Now, I wouldn't add them to the package because, as I've explained, I think those guys right now are at least as good and maybe in some ways more valuable than Carmelo, and I think because of the Knicks' leverage situation with the no-trade clause, the Rockets can get him for a lower cost. But if it was a matter of Carmelo's about to go to another team and Chris Paul would leave the Rockets after the season, you bet your ass that Daryl Morey would raise his offer. The fact that he isn't shows you that it's not that type of dynamic here. So that's one thing to keep in mind in terms of the CP3 factor. The other thing that I would throw out, again, I don't see anything in the history of those four players, this banana boat, that shows me that this is all that serious of a goal. First off, let's go back to 2014. LeBron and Dwayne Wade were together. They had just gone to the finals for the fourth straight year. They were a force. LeBron, Wade, and Chris Bosh, their hand-picked super team. And despite all of that, LeBron left them for Kyrie Irving and, I suppose, the potential of Kevin Love. Then it was Andrew Wiggins, who they ultimately traded to Minnesota for Love. It's obvious LeBron and Kyrie Irving did not have that much of a relationship. They weren't that close. LeBron just knew that Kyrie, at his age especially, was just a better bet for him moving forward than Dwayne Wade, even though Wade was his friend. Because ultimately, they like each other, they'll hang out in the offseason, but part of what makes them great as basketball players, they're smart. And in this case, he understood the limitations in the case of Dwayne Wade involving his body, and even though they were already together, then LeBron chose to go elsewhere. Flash forward to last summer when things broke down between Dwayne Wade and the Heat. Everyone assumed that Dwayne Wade, oh, he was going to go to Cleveland. It was done. He'd take less money. They were going to hook back up again. Everybody saw them in the gym working out together, all this stuff. Well, you know what? Dwayne Wade goes to a Chicago team because they offered the most money. It's not a good fit. It's been awkward since then. But, yeah, that's where he chose to go. And then this summer, Dwayne Wade had an opt-out. Everyone assumed, oh, yeah, he's going to opt-out. He's going to play with LeBron or maybe, you know, either Chris or Carmelo somewhere. And then Dwayne opted in because he's not going to get $24 million elsewhere because what matters to him is the money more than anything else. Now, if the stars align, if he gets bought out from that contract, then maybe he'll sign for the minimum with Cleveland or somewhere. Anyway, it's not that they don't want to play with each other. I think all things being equal, would they enjoy it? Sure they would. But again, it goes back to all things being equal. They are not irrational. They are not going to go out of their way if they don't think it's the right basketball decision to all of a sudden just basically pout and say, I'm done with you, I want out. No, there is nothing in the baggage of these guys. Hell, let's use Chris earlier this summer too. Chris was a free agent to be, and according to stories that have leaked, LeBron wanted Kyrie Irving traded for Chris Paul in a sign and trade, and you bet your ass the Clippers would have been willing to do that. Yet it never got anywhere near the finish line because Chris Paul chose to go to Houston rather than pursue anything with LeBron in Cleveland. That's not to say there's a rift there. I think all things being equal, would they like to play together? Sure, but there's nothing that tells me that the relationships are just so close that they're going to be irrational and pout and all this other stuff if it doesn't work out. I think Chris would like to have Carmelo here just as I would, just as anyone, but I don't think it's going to demonstrably change his outlook for Houston. All the things he raved about, again, just go back a few days ago, our Andre Iguodala podcast, the openness, the transparency, the leadership of the organization, all that stuff is still here. That and James Harden, that is why Chris Paul chose to sign with Houston. I can promise you guys that. Now, he might have seen some potential for Carmelo, and he might have said, hey, that's cool, but I can promise you guys he did not sign with Houston only because he thought Carmelo was coming here in a few days. That's just absolutely ridiculous. And, you know, again, I'm sure he would like it. I'm not going to say that, oh, it doesn't matter to him. No, he'd like it. But this idea that, oh, Chris is going to go elsewhere, that's just ridiculous. And the other part is, where would he go? The Rockets, as I've explained, are already the second best team in the NBA, considered by almost everyone, even without Carmelo Anthony. So only Golden State's better. They don't have cap room. The teams that are even close to the Rockets, I guess Cleveland, San Antonio, they don't really have cap room either. Where is Chris Paul going to go next summer that gives him a better chance to win than here in Houston? Where? I am not seeing that as a possibility amongst the other top teams in the NBA. That is, again, you have to think it through. Chris Paul did not get where he is because he's an immature baby and he's just going to leave at the first sign of any turbulence just because the grass is greener on the other side. No, he puts a ton of thought in these decisions. Houston is where it is for a reason. It is a really well-run organization with a deep and well-crafted roster, and there's nowhere that's a viable path for him to go that's going to give him a better shot to win. So I just don't get this panic. I don't know where it's coming from. And I've seen some wondering about the pursuit of LeBron in 2018. Does this kill that? No. Again, would it have been nice if Carmelo was here? I'm sure LeBron would have been even more interested if, you know, all things being equal, all of his friends are there. But folks, yeah, that's probably the case. But look back at the 2014 saga. LeBron had Dwayne with him. That was the last time LeBron was truly a free agent, July 2014. He already had Dwayne Wade, his buddy, and he chose to leave otherwise because he thought it was a better basketball situation. In this case, he's already on very good terms with Chris Paul and James Harden, two guys. Well, Chris is one of his best friends on the planet, and James is someone he knows very well through Team USA and all the other NBA circles. If LeBron James has a path to Houston where it's financially advantageous to him, in other words, he can get the money he desires, and it's the best basketball fit, he's going to consider it whether Carmelo is here or not. Now, all things being equal, would he like Carmelo here? Yeah, I'm sure he would. It certainly wouldn't hurt. And I think you'd take any perk you can get in the sweepstakes. But no, it's not a matter of, well, you get Carmelo, you're a player for LeBron. And if you don't get Carmelo, you're not. No, the case for LeBron James, above all else, and he has shown it over and over again, is can you win a title? Are you his best bet among reasonable options to win a title? And as I've explained, the Rockets, everyone considers them the second best team already, and that's without Carmelo Anthony. They are a really good team no matter what. So I don't think that not getting Carmelo Anthony materially changes your outlook for LeBron James next summer either. But again, I've gone on long enough with this, and I'm not to the point that I'm giving up on Carmelo myself. I just want to address some of the despair I'm seeing in the social media streets, the Twitter streets, whatever you want to call it. You know, it would suck to feel like that you were on the verge of getting Carmelo, which the Rockets did. I think everyone around the deal did in July, and then it not happen. Certainly, I think he makes you a better team than Ryan Anderson, and I hope it still happens. I truly believe it can. But if it doesn't, I do want to acknowledge possibility because I'm not oblivious to what's being said on social media. Even if I tell folks to calm down, that doesn't mean everybody's going to do it. And, it's a possibility that he could go somewhere else. And, you know, while it would suck, it would hurt to almost have a deal that would make you better and then not get it to the finish line. At the same time, a lot of the despair, in my opinion, is truly over the top. So, with that, I've got to run because I'm covering the Astros again today. But these are just my quick thoughts. I know a lot of you guys wanted that out there. So, those are my takeaways on why. A, I'm not really fully buying the report at face value about Carmelo expanding his list. I think there's more to the equation than what we know at this time. And secondly, if he does go elsewhere, why I don't think it's nearly as big of a deal as a lot of other people on Rockets Twitter seem to believe. But that's all they can really say for now because we're waiting on more information to come out. And honestly, it could at any minute. It's one of those things. I think the one thing that's proven above all else, as we explained yesterday morning in the reaction to the Media Day comments in New York, that's all lip service. The bottom line is there is a huge incentive on both sides, the Knicks and Carmelo, to move on. And when both sides are that motivated, all it takes is one phone call. So even if things aren't there yet, we could have a leak later today even that it's done. That's all it's going to take. So again, nothing now. I'm not giving up on it, but certainly positively or negatively, my bet is that we have some resolution fairly soon in either direction. And of course, once that happens, I'll be right here on Locked On Rockets to break it down for you. But for now, I hope everybody enjoys their Saturday as best you can while checking Twitter, whatever chances you get. If you're not already following me on there, please do so at Ben Dubose or the show at Locked On Rockets. Also, email us, lockedonrockets@gmail.com. Questions, suggestions, advertising inquiries, anything we can do to make this a better program. Also, subscribe to us. Leave us good ratings if you haven't already. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, Audio Boom, pretty much wherever you find your podcast, search for Locked On Rockets. Please subscribe to us and you'll get all of our instant episodes the moment, all of our daily episodes the instant they come out. Sorry, did not get a lot of sleep after being late at Minute Maid Park last night and then early game today. So apologies for that. May have been a little bit of a choppy podcast, but I know you guys wanted my reaction, so I'm trying to give it to you very quickly before I have to go back out to Minute Maid Park in just a few minutes for today's game. So that's on my agenda for today, along with refreshing Twitter all the time. Hope you guys enjoy watching the Astros, college football, anything going on. For now, enjoy your Saturday, and I'm sure we'll be talking a lot more in the next few days, even hours, about whatever the next move on the Carmelo Anthony trade front is.